Now let us read together in God's Word in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24 at verse 1. Continuing in our series in the Gospel according to Luke, we happily come to this account of Easter morning. Luke 24 at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to lay hold on the truth of his message. Now let us pray. God our Father, we remember that it was on Easter morning that all the promises of Jesus came true, that everything happened according to the Scriptures. And we pray that the reality of your word would be our experience today as we seek the life and the purpose and the hope which only the risen Lord can give us. We ask this in his name. Amen. Friends, in my Christian journey, Holy Week has always been a very important time for me. I was brought up in a church where we went in for Holy Week in a big way. Not only were there services every night in Holy Week, which is the usual practice, we also had services at 7:45 a.m., an early rise for people, but they would gather before they went to work or before they went to school or wherever for a 15-minute service at that time. And it was in one of those services that I had my first experience of conducting a service and preaching, although I would probably put the word preaching in inverted commas, but it certainly was from the heart. That's one thing I could say. And then when I moved into my first parish, I discovered very happily that there was a tradition in Ardeer for Holy Week services every night of the week. The only thing was the minister was expected to take every one of them. And that meant that although it was a wonderful experience and discipline to be focused on the Word, it was quite a commitment with all the other things that had to be done in the course of a week, things seen and unforeseen. And what normally happened was that by the time I got to Easter morning, I was absolutely exhausted. The one morning when I really wanted to have a lot of oomph, as it were, in the preaching and in everything else related to the service, sometimes I looked within myself and realized that I was running pretty much on empty. But you know, through the years, I've reflected on that and I've realized that by and large, that feeling that I had on those Easter mornings of not being able to do justice to the occasion. By and large, those feelings were irrelevant. And what my attitude on that particular Easter morning was irrelevant. Because the reality was this, that Christ is risen. The Lord had risen from the dead, and that was not affected by the way I was feeling. It was not affected in any way by my attitude. The reality was what was important. I'm very pleased that according to the radio news this morning, the Archbishop of Canterbury, in his Easter message, will be concentrating on the reality of the resurrection and actually coming to the conclusion that the Easter stories just don't make sense unless Christ is risen. It's good to hear that from a church leader, because so often in the past some people have used this as an opportunity to spread doubt and confusion. So well done to the Archbishop. But the reality is this, for Easter Day, that something new was happening in the world. There was a surge from the empty tomb, which was carrying people forward to a new day. And that really was just continuing what happened when Jesus came into the world. Because when Jesus began his ministry, he was bearing witness to the fact that a new force was being set in motion throughout human history. And that force would not be halted until it had come to its climax, when the kingdom of God would appear on this earth, with everything transformed into a new reality. Jesus said in his preaching that through him the kingdom had come to this earth. And that was seen. The kingdom was actually seen and experienced in the healing that he gave to people who were sick, and in the changed lives that resulted in people responding to his message. You see, when Jesus healed the blind and the lame, he wasn't just being kind to sick people. He was making a statement. He was saying the kingdom of God has broken into present reality and it is moving forward to that great day when all sickness and all suffering and all human corruption will be behind us. And when Jesus called Zacchaeus down from the tree and went to Zacchaeus' house and ministered to him to the extent that Zacchaeus, from the depths of his spiritual core, was transformed and left behind him a life of cheating and corruption and went forward into a life of service. That was a statement that the kingdom of God had broken into present reality. And it was moving forward to that day, great day, when none of us will anymore have the struggle with sin, which was dragging people like Zacchaeus down. And when the Lord Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb, the most spectacular of all the miracles, that was a declaration that we're all moving forward to that great day when death will no longer be part of our human experience. Sickness, sin, death, no longer part of our experience. And that is where we're going, friends, in terms of the development of human history. And the resurrection of Jesus has confirmed that for us. When Jesus rose from the dead, something new was happening. That surge of the kingdom was given an extra boost. There was new momentum given to that power of renewal for individuals and for the whole of creation and human history was never going to be the same. People could move forward in their present reality and realize that their own personal failure, their own personal sin did not need to cut them off from God, because Jesus had paid the price for their sin. And people in present reality could go forward, no longer overwhelmed with a fear of death, because death, having laid its grip upon Jesus, couldn't hold him. And he broke free to give a promise to all those who trust in him that they will be with him beyond their experience of death. That's what Jesus came to do. To give us the hope of personal renewal and to give us also the hope of resurrection beyond our experience of death. And what I want to emphasize to you this morning, friends, is that that great kingdom surge is still going forward in human experience. No matter how we feel, no matter what our attitude is, no matter if you don't believe it this morning, I'm telling you, this surge is going forward to that great day of renewal. And we are challenged, each one of us, to step into this, or else to deny it. Will we raise ourselves to catch the wind that the Spirit is blowing through creation at this time? Will we become kingdom people with a present experience, but also a forward experience, something we can look forward to when the work of the kingdom is complete? It's a reality, friends, whether we feel it or whether we don't. I was privileged on Good Friday to be taking part in the 3 hours devotion at Glasgow Cathedral. There are 7 preachers throughout that 3 hours, and each one is assigned one of the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And the words that I were assigned were these: Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the point I was trying to make throughout this preaching, friends, is that even though Jesus at that moment on the cross experienced the loss of God, and there's no other way that you can interpret those words, even though Jesus experienced the loss of God, still the purpose of God was moving forward. Still God's plan was unfolding, not only for Jesus, but for the whole of humankind. And what I was trying to emphasize also in the preaching was this: that even when we have entered into a dark place where it feels to us like our Father has turned his face away, when it's difficult to pray, when the Word of God read or preached just bounces off our hearts, when we have to force ourselves to go out to the church, it doesn't matter how you're feeling about that. The kingdom of Christ is still moving forward. The resurrection surge cannot be halted. That's the message of Easter morning. And we can actually see the reality of that in the passage that we read. The fact that although there was something there to celebrate, that actually hadn't touched people in the depths of their being at this particular moment. We tend to think that it was a time when they discovered that the tomb was empty, that it was a time for leaping and rejoicing and high fives, but Luke tells us something different. He paints a much flatter story than our perceptions. have become over the years. I mean, think of the women. They've done that very moving thing on Good Friday, gathering the spices together to take to the tomb of Jesus on Easter morning. They've done all of that, and so they're there. And they discover that the stone has been rolled away from the tomb and it's empty. Now, there's no rejoicing at that particular point if you look at the passage. The women are puzzled. And that gives way to fear. When these two men appear in garments that are shining, dazzling like lightning. And then they fall to their knees and then they hear words which I've always thought are words of rebuke. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Do you not remember what he told you? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then be remembered. And shift the perspective to the disciples. Well, it's the Victor Meldrew fan club, isn't it? They don't believe it. When the women go and tell them what has happened. They didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They actually attacked these women as being unreliable witnesses. But then Peter, give him his due. And if anybody's going to sort it out, it's the big fisherman, isn't it? He actually runs to the tomb. He sees what the women saw, but he's not leaping with joy. He's not high-fiving everybody that he meets. He doesn't even see any angels. He's left to wonder. He's left to wonder what has happened. So there's no hallelujah chorus at this point on Easter morning. There is confusion. There is fear. There is unbelief. And what is even more disturbing, there is an attack from the disciples on the witness of these faithful women. My point is, nothing, none of that stuff diminishes the fact that Jesus is risen. That the kingdom has been strengthened. That the kingdom is moving forwards. That a great surge has been created from that empty tomb, which is allowing the will of God to go forward, and which will bring life and renewal and hope to all those people who by faith will step in to that surge. And friends, that is a message that we all need to embrace on this Easter morning. Each one of us here this morning will face our own personal challenges in life. And only you know what they are this morning. What I'm saying to you is, open up your minds to the resurrection reality and realize that despite how you're feeling, things are going forward and you're part of that. But there are also challenges that the church together is facing on this Easter morning. You know, when I came to this presbytery at first, there were 32 ministers serving various charges throughout the presbytery. We've recently been told that we have to lose 10 of those. I think bringing us down, well, I think we've been told to lose 10 and a half. I think I'm the half. That's just the way they're thinking nowadays. We've been told to lose at least that amount. I'm also told that by the end of this year, with vacancies and with retirals, there's only going to be 14 ministers in this presbytery to cover everything that has to be done. It's what a friend of mine would call a heart sink. when you think of it. Raise the perspective to the national picture, where there are very real challenges to the continuing unity of the Church of Scotland, and how we're going to continue to witness as a national church. And it's not just about one issue. It's about the content of the gospel. It's about where we derive our authority. And it's about the nature of the witness that we will give as a Christian church. Another heart sink. But you know, as my favourite Italian-American philosopher Rocky Balboa once said, sometimes it's not how hard you hit, but how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. Sometimes it's not how hard you get hit, but how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And we can move forward because Christ has risen. Because the resurrection tells us that His kingdom is advancing. And that is the reality, whether we feel that or whether we do not feel that. And just bear with me a moment, because I've not been very organized this morning and I haven't got this passage ready, which I want to quote from the Apostle Paul. But surely this is what Paul means when he talks about the treasure that we have in jars of clay, when he talks about the precious possession of the gospel. And he says that the implications of this, though we are weary and hard-pressed and fragile, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life might be revealed in our mortal body. What is Paul telling us there, but that we can take all the hits and we can still move forward because of the risen Lord? You know, there was a quote which I heard a lot of colleagues sharing now and again in conversation and also in talks, which kind of puzzled me for a wee while, and really was feeling a wee bit slow in the uptake because I wasn't getting excited about this, but I think I understand it now. What my friends were saying is, we need to discover what God is already doing in the world and then get involved. We need to discover what God is already doing in the world and get involved. And what that means, I think, and how this chimes in with my thinking this morning, is that it's possible for us to step into the surge, to take the hits, but still to move forward. Do you know, I heard a story, and this is about the Church of England. You know, the grand old lady of the Church of England. And there's a church down there in the London area called Holy Trinity Brompton. And from 1985, this one church has actually planted 17 new churches in the London area. They've said to the Bishop of London, for every church you close, we will plant a new one. Now that's what it means to step into the surge. That's what it means to get involved with what God is already doing. Because if we embrace the apostolic faith, then that's a faith that is designed to be shared. It's a faith that is designed to change people's lives. And not only that, but the preeminent gift to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of love. And that is a gift that God gives us to practice. What I'm seeing in all of this is that we are given this faith, we are given this love, and it's the power of the risen Christ which is behind it to cultivate and to bring fruit. He is building his church as he promised. Will we be involved? Let's pray. God our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus would be real to us in his risen power. Enable us to go forward, knowing that his presence is with us, that his power has dealt with our sin, and has opened up the way for us to be with him beyond our experience of death. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.